for this particular argument. Number seven.
Item number seven, Org Unit 5700, Department of Administrative Services, Facilities Management, page 156.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. I have Greg High, Director of A&E, to my left, and Gary Wozak, Interim Director of Facilities, to my right with me today. I'd like to begin by providing a broad overview of some of the significant items, nothing major, in this budget, and then Greg and Gary will get into some of the specifics, and I'm sure that many of you will have some questions around those. So you'll note that the budget includes the transfer into facilities of approximately 14 positions, revenues, and associated expenditures. This is due to the early stages of the consolidated facilities plan generated from the CBRE report that was completed earlier this year. Specifically, facilities has taken over the landlord responsibilities of COGS from DHHS as one of the low-hanging fruits, if you will, of this effort. Working in collaboration with my Economic Development Department, we can now more directly engage in assessing a long-term strategy with the state, the primary tenant of the building. We've also, in addition of those 14 positions, I wanted to just mention, as we mentioned in the discussion around IMSD, we transferred those internal mail services positions from IMSD into facilities. So those are just some of the high-level staffing changes that have been made in this particular budget. So that's where I leave off, and I'm going to pass the baton to either Greg or Gary to drill down a little bit more specifically into their budget items before we ask for questions.
Mr. High.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, the Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services section of Facilities Management maintains a budget for 2014 that is a cost to continue, if you will. There are no major changes in the way we're doing business or the services that we provide. Some of you probably will know, but I'll reiterate, the architecture and engineering area includes architectural services, the airport engineer, and the civil engineering and site development area. And those three areas are at, primarily their focus is to deliver the capital program projects and major maintenance. The architecture, aside from the airport engineering area, which focuses only on the airport projects, our architectural services and civil engineering area provide services countywide for all the departments on any capital projects that involve construction or feasibility studies or the like. There is a new look at the current organizational structure for the architecture and engineering area, and that will be an operations and staffing plan study conducted in 2014 to help determine the optimum staffing and operation structure in relation to the county's capital workload. Funding for that comes out of the land sales program area, the details of which I guess we can get into later if you like, but essentially, if you look at the budgeted areas of these, what we do activity data and how well we do it, performance measures, the what we do activity is the number of capital projects managed, and the performance measures are the 80%, at least 80% of the capital projects are completed within 36 months. To get to that whole initiative and accountability for projects, we've been working with the Comptroller's Office over the years, looking at carryover project capital projects and the volume of that. We are adding two staff. We have, over the last 10 years, seen a reduction in our staff, architects and engineers, but over the last two or three years, we've added staff a little bit at a time, trying to balance this work resource with work volume. This study will help us to look at what is the optimal staffing level versus use of consultants or temp staff, and it will help us to get into the measurement area of performance measures and activity data, and also assist us in trying to reduce that carryover of capital projects. The second area that's included in our architecture, engineering, and environmental services is the environmental services area. And in a budget perspective or a fiscal and budget view of that area, DAS Fiscal has put the sustainability area in with environmental services, although the reporting structure and the organizational chart, the director of sustainability reports to the director of facilities management, the environmental services or environmental engineer, the head of that environmental services area reports to me. So the organizational change, the organizational structure remains the same. It's the budgeting for environmental services and sustainability that have been lumped together there in that second program area. They also have a different performance measure. They review the measure is review 75% of the capital major maintenance projects with the objective of improving energy efficiency and sustainability. And how that works is the sustainability director is an independent operation with their goal of providing guidance, management, and development of sustainability functions countywide. And the environmental services area, in addition to all the rest of the things they do, they provide this technical support for the sustainability director. So they're linked in the performance measure. I guess with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Mr. Wozniak? We'll finish with the presentations, then the questions.
Yes.
Mr. Wozniak.
For the facilities maintenance area, as Mr. Tyler mentioned, one of our biggest changes, the COGS piece coming into facilities. Facilities, as I'm sure you're aware, is responsible for building and grounds maintenance and operations. One thing that is looked at is the mail services we currently have. A mail service here in the courthouse, as does IMSD, and that makes a lot of sense to look at those two operations and combine them and sort out some efficiencies and also tie in the COGS mail operation. There are outside the building mail operations that delivers the interoffice mail between the facilities and transfers between the different areas, and that is a discussion that is finally coming forth in the budget. We've had those discussions in recent years between IMSD and facilities. With the COG staff, not only the mail operations, but their facilities operations as part of the one landlord methodology in working and meeting with the COG staff, there's a common ground as far as facilities operations that we can work with the staff there, they can work with us. And in fact, many of the staff at COGS as well as the staff at the courthouse have worked in years past at either respective facilities. So there's a familiarity that I was quite surprised with in actually meeting with staff and having those discussions. Most of the budget changes for staff and dollars are related to that move. We also have there's some other items in the facilities inspection, management, maintenance area that I believe Mr. Tyler is going to elaborate on. I will mention, though, that also in facilities budget, we have an increase in our building repairs and major maintenance by $813,000. That's for services 6610 and 8502, and a moving of the facility assessment team to facilities to reflect more directly the responsibilities and duties within the facilities departments, so that with that inspection team working closely with the building operators, the mechanical and maintenance staff within each facility.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. Lost my page here. For A&E, you're talking about some trend in terms of having historically been understaffed and adding a few positions, but when I look at 14 as opposed to 12, you're still under that, and when I look at the expenditure line, you seem to be decreasing. Are you saying that is that augmented with outside consulting staff, or how has your staff increased, and how has that plan been? How does that match up with plans to complete more projects on a timely basis?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, one of the things I'll point out is last year we added a construction cost estimator and a mid-range architect position, permanent staff. In 2014, we proposed to add a permanent mechanical engineer position and a full-time clerical specialist while abolishing two half-time or hourly positions. We tried to, as far as the clerical goes, we tried to have two hourly people there for use because we needed to have some presence there when one took off for sickness or vacation or whatever. Our ability to get two hourly employees didn't work out real well. We were able to hire one, but there aren't a lot of people looking for these hourly positions with no benefits. Mm. So we thought that the clerical specialist, a full-time position, would help us in that area to get some permanence there. I think what you're seeing in budget-wise, in that you're not seeing our budget go up, even though we're adding some positions, is that a cost that we used to have in architecture, engineering, and environmental services was our support services area. That's been moved into the director's office for facilities management division. And so our fiscal staff that typically would been part of the A&E budget is now part of the director's office budget. But Mr. Drent, who heads up that area, still reports to me. But that cost is shifted to the director, so the numbers can be a little misleading there.
Okay, so what I see there in terms of FDE positions isn't very helpful to me in understanding what your actual staff that's dedicated to project implementation is. It does not reflect that, or I can't see under that number to see your ability to implement those projects.
Mr. Chair, that Supervisor, that's correct. It's with the moving around, it's hard to see.
Okay. So then this goal of 80% of capital projects completed within 36 months, I'm interested in why that goal is the appropriate level that we should be shooting for. That seems low, actually, that one in five of our projects wouldn't get done in 3 years, and we'd have to turn back the bonds or re-go out for the bonds again. We just had that problem where millions of dollars, we didn't carry out the projects, and we get in a position where people think they've got a project that's going to come online, and 3 years later they're told, you're back in the queue for the next round of bonds, maybe.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I can understand where you might think that when you're looking at this. My experience with performance measures is that as you go and set these, to start having no track record, no data, you don't put something that is unreachable or perfection, if you will. So we set it at something that we think we can reach and at the same time try to exceed it, which we're always trying to complete 100% of the capital projects. But the other thing that, that comes into play is unforeseen projects that come up. Over the last two or three years, the zoo interchange has been, it's kind of blown up our capital duties and responsibilities. And so we've tried to supplement with consultants and temp staff. I think we only, but right now we only have about four temp staff at this time, which is down from previous years. By adding that permanent staff, we've shifted things around a little bit. And certainly, this is just the first year. We hope to exceed that 80%. And but as I say, with performance measures, you start with something that's probably achievable, but still within the realm of a good performance.
So you think the current plan is sufficient to meet that goal? What staffing? What would the staffing need to be in order to achieve a higher goal?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, having no data to support what I say or what we're looking at here, there is no data in that's been collected on this. I would say that we're thinking we're going to exceed that 80%, and then next year in this budget process we'll be setting a higher goal perhaps.
Hey, Greg, would you mind expanding a little bit in terms of some of the variables outside of your control that might weigh in to preventing you from being able to complete all of these projects? There are projects that get on hold for various reasons, or like you said before, there are projects that come up that were unanticipated. So there's variables there that you can't control that drive this metric to some extent too, right?
Well, that's true. Mr. Chair, Supervisor, there have been projects over time that I guess if the budget isn't enough to make an award, the project just stops. If we are able to put together a fund transfer to find the money to make a project whole and move forward with it, that makes the project move forward. But then there are other projects that are put on hold because of unforeseen site conditions. There's a couple of projects right now that I could give you. I don't know that you want to get into all the details, but they're currently on hold because the bids came in and they're way over budget, and so they're kind of just sitting there right now. You'll be hearing more about those in the months to come, but that's the kind of thing that happens. So if I were to say 100% historically with how it's gone, I don't know that that's reachable.
Mm-hmm. And how is it that we can't compute what our current achievement level is? I mean, that seems like a metric you would be able to compute what your performance has been. No one has a spreadsheet of our projects and knows how many of those projects we get done in within their three-year timeline.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I'm sure that we could go back in time and work up some statistics, but in the past, we were using 18 and 24 months for time frames for projects that needed to be done. Working with the Comptroller's Office, we're looking at 36 months now, which is that's fine with me if that's the way it goes. I know that they've been working to make sure that some unspent bonds get spent, so there's shifting, there's moving of bonds around to compensate, use the old bonds first, not bond for a project till mid-year perhaps, or a series of projects till mid-year. Timing of the purchase of the bonds indicates, you know, that gives you more time to get things done. So there's a lot of variables there. We really haven't looked at using this as a metric up to now. We've been so focused on just taking each job as it comes and getting it done as quickly as possible within budget. I'm sure we could go back and provide data. I know that we have spreadsheets to do that, but I don't know if you could. That would be hard to compare apples to apples. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, I think.
Right. Well, I don't want to belabor it, Mr. Chairman. We haven't spent too much time on a lot of the metrics that are in here, but it's an example of one where I don't know on what basis we chose it. I don't understand. I don't know that I agree that it's the right one or that it's the right goal or level that's set. for me personally, I clearly don't think that, you know, one in five projects not moving is an acceptable level. Now, I understand those cases where they can't, and so there are exceptions to that, but generally when we allocate it, I pretty much expect that it's getting done in 3 years, unless they've told us it's not a three-year project. But even in that case, you know, planning would have been in 1 year, and that, you know, there would have been money for that and would have been done. Or, you know, it's where there's a multi-year implementation, I get that. But, you know, I keep hearing from other departments that, oh, your project isn't going, you know, and part of it they'll pin on this area. They'll pin it on you. So, you know, you're both pointing fingers at each other. Meanwhile, projects are languishing. So I'm frustrated. I keep looking for ways to help. But, you know, if you're telling me you've got the staff and that's not the problem, that you've rectified that, then I'll look to see that in terms of performance.
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, it's one of the things Greg, Mr. High had indicated. We've got this $50,000 initiative where we hope that we can, you know, really dig in and make sure that our staffing size is right to get this work done.
It's, you know, all right. It's one more example where we pinned our hopes on a consultant to tell us what we should do. I don't understand how, in a scenario like this, a consultant's going to know this any better than those who've been doing this work for years in our departments would understand our system and would know the staffing pattern that could get them the results that are expected. So, I mean, I think maybe I have more confidence in Mr. High that if given the latitude to propose the structure that would be appropriate, that he could probably come up with that. You probably don't need a consultant to tell you that. So, you know, I'm concerned that the consultant will be constrained by the administration's desire to promise more for less. And that may not match the reality of achieving more, which is what I'd like these projects done. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jersey.
Is this all you're going to present to us? I mean, are we still going to get to the facilities inspection? The consulting service on the strategic planning piece? Is that all you're going to say on this? Are we still going to hear more?
Mr. Supervisor, or Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I think we are wanting to stop and take the questions that you might have so we can drill down a little bit deeper. So I'm happy to respond to, is this the question that you have? Is it related to the facilities? On page 160?
Supervisor Jersey.
Are we doing that piece yet, or are we going to hold off and...
Is this the related to the facilities inspection and management and maintenance?
Well, it's the whole CBRE report.
Okay.
That.
Okay, yes.
I don't know if you want me to go through the history. Strategic planning suggests we go out and get an outside report to review all of the main facilities, get the evaluation of what utility costs are, the costs of running. We did all that. My understanding is that was then going to give us the raw materials that would be needed to start making some decisions around facilities. And now we have in this budget more money to bring in more outside consultants.
Right.
With still no decisions being made. I am very frustrated. And I know we have this in-house committee working on this, and they've been meeting. I agree with Supervisor Lipscomb's, you know, I really think there are people within this county, or even you could probably go and we've had some very good employees in the past, some architects, engineers who are retired who probably would be willing to even give of their time and could give you a roadmap to facilities downsizing without going out and continuing hiring more people. Decisions have to be made. My comments last year at budget time was, if you spend all your time looking for the best decision, the very best decision from all of the standpoint of utility savings and space use and so on, you'll never get to a decision. So I don't even necessarily need a best decision just so it's a good decision that gets us started down the road of some kind of a sensible facilities downsizing. We have fewer employees today. We've documented all that many times. I really expected to see some kind of at least an outline in this year's budget towards getting us somewhere. I can't tell you how disappointed I was to see this is all we have. And if we have to have some additional help, okay, let's do it. But if I'm going to hire additional help, I want to know where we're going, not just to study it some more.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Supervisor, I recall with respect to the CBRE report, it was said we were given an outline with respect to consolidations, with respect to potential closing of buildings.
It had a number of recommendations.
With respect to where manipulation could occur to put populations here, there, and decisions were to be made. I guess the question is, with respect to this $500,000 and the $200,000 pot of money, would any of that money go to CBRE?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, the money would not go to CBRE per se, but it certainly is focused very specifically on the project that we're calling CFP for what it's worth. So, Supervisor Jerzyk, I am with you on let's get some traction. Sometime in spring, I put a stake in the ground relative to COGS. To get some traction going in terms of what do we do with COGS, because one of our strategies is to consolidate, if it's appropriate, into a courthouse campus environment. And does it make sense for COGS to be part of that strategy? So with this team that we came together with Greg High leading it up, I put a stake in the ground. That basically said by year end, we're going to have a decision relative to COGS. As you know, the state is in that building right now. The state is also giving us some signals that they would like to have a long-term commitment in that building. That may not work relative to our strategy, or it might work perfectly relative to our strategy, but it's something that we've got to work toward. And it's something that I'm working with the team and Tigwaley Smith in getting our arms around. The other thing that we're doing is putting a stake in the ground relative to consolidation of some of my divisions within the courthouse out of city campus for a couple different purposes. One, the courthouse, one person's view, the space is utilized very inefficiently. So there's a lot of opportunity to consolidate more staff into the courthouse. One of the strategies in the CBRE report suggested doing a little bit of piloting around space planning. Several of my divisions, whether they know it or like it or not, they're going to be part of that piloting program. So right now I'm considering economic development and CBDP to make a move. That's the stake in the ground to get some traction, to make a move and consolidate into the courthouse, utilizing the space specifications that were outlined in the CBRE report. So the $500,000 is related to a combination of outsourcing if we need to, design specialists, purchasing specific furniture and fixtures for those new space planning specifications, relocation costs, moving vans, that sort of thing, to begin this consolidation effort. We might need to retain some consultants relative to space utility, that sort of thing. There might be some leasehold improvements that need to be made as well. So that's what the $500,000 is for. And I believe that you did receive a clarifying communication from the county executive's office that went into a little bit more detail on that $500,000. The $200,000 is really related to I don't want to say specifically to project management, but that's an important component of it. When I raised Greg High's hand to take a lead role in this, and I think you've gotten a sense of how much work that group has, one of the things that I had made a commitment to him on is that we would bring some resources to bear to that organization so we can continue to move this thing forward. If I just piled that on Greg's plate independent without those resources, my fear is that the same old thing would happen. This would just stay on the shelf. And it's no offense to Greg. It's just that he's got a full 8 to 10 hour day already. And if I can give him some resources to help move this along but get his intellectual capital, I think that's a nice combination. Are we going to spend $200,000 for that project management consulting effort? I don't know. I hope not. But I think it's important for us to manage the expectation that we've got to invest in this effort before we start getting some returns. One of the challenges, so we talk about the $500,000, one of the challenges is that, geez, we're spending money. When's the return going to come in on that spend? And I think most of you know that that return is going to come through operating efficiencies. We're going to certainly get some land sales, hopefully, out of this eventually. But those facility liquidations oftentimes come with a lot of hair attached to them as it relates to debt. And the land might not be as particularly marketable as we thought. So the bottom line is that we've got to invest, and that's what we're asking for. We've got to invest in 2014 to get the ball rolling. Knowing that what we're going to gain is operating efficiencies, but that's got a long tail to it. And we're also going to gain in the reduction of debt. That will help us as well in terms of being able to use our money more wisely into our core services. That's a long-winded answer, but I hope that that's a little bit helpful.
You know, I mean, I appreciate that it's going to cost us money to do this. I was never naive enough to think it wasn't. And I agree with your comment that we're probably not going to realize enough money in land sales to pay for it. I get all that. But I don't like the idea of having to spend more money without a vision. I'll give you some simple questions that I would like answered. Are we going to move out of city campus? Yes or no? Are we going to take out those old jail cells in the middle of the safety building and use that space? Yes or no? Are we going to keep the safety building and upgrade the HVAC system? Yes or no? Those are three major facility questions that will set us in a certain direction. Your little piece, all due respect, it's probably something that's a good idea, a pilot program, but there's no big vision. You know, which way are we going on this? Get a vision, tell us what we're doing with the facilities downsizing plan, and then you start down that road. But I don't know what your vision is yet. And I don't know that it's going to be helpful to keep bringing in more consultants when we haven't said what our vision is. I mean, and the courts really should be part of all this, because this whole courthouse campus complex, and it is true. When we had the fire, I called the courthouse the mothership. When the mothership's down, all the satellites were having operating problems, absolutely, because everything functions through the mother house. So, you know, this is the key campus, no doubt about it. And that safety building is a significant part of the courthouse campus. The core of that building is unusable. Are we not going to take out those darn jail cells? That is a significant question that should be answered. And I want answers, yes or no. I mean, how many consultants do we have to bring in here to get some basic answers? And what's the vision? Then we'll put the money in that you're asking for. But what is the vision?
Mr. Chair and supervisors, I'll give you some specific answers to the extent that I can as it relates to city campus. The answer 5 months ago was yes. We're gonna dispose of that property. But as T. Gwaley Smith started looking at the numbers, and as we started talking to the folks at the state in COGS, I think most people, the impression is with city campus, it's a very inefficient building. So I think if you asked around the shop, 9 out of 10 would say, of course you should get rid of City Campus and consolidate at Cox. However, what would happen if you found that maybe perhaps City Campus is more efficient than when we do our own internal research, not hiring consultants, but when we do our own internal research through the economic development area and find, in fact, that perhaps City Campus isn't as inefficient as we thought it was? And what if in economic development, Tiguely Smith has a very good, robust discussion with the folks at the state that determine or suggest that maybe there's a long-term play there for the county that would make a tremendous amount of sense for us to have a long-term lease arrangement with the state at COGS that would allow us to perhaps leverage some funding down the road to perhaps consolidate into another building around here? I don't know. So what I'm trying to say to you is that I agree we got to get a vision, but I also agree with you in the sense that we've got to have a stake in the ground to get things going. And that's what I'm trying to do as well. I think that we've got a wonderful roadmap in the CBRE report. We are following that roadmap, and 90% of that vision is right within that roadmap that CBRE provided, and we're going down that path. The funding, the $200,000, I'm not a big believer in consultants either. I had a consulting business, and I know that game. So you've got to be very, very careful when you hire consultants. You want to get the benefit out of them. But the fact is that I think we do need to do that. For one, we need specialized expertise. And number two, we simply don't have the capacity at hand to leverage on a day-to-day basis. The risk of that is having this report set up on the shelf again, and 5 years from now, we're having the same conversation. I don't want to make that happen.
Director, can you answer briefly her the second and third question?
Safety building? Safety building, CBRE report said what? Yes, we should renovate that thing, right? There's quite a bit of internal debate going on, and I'm meeting actually with one of the gentlemen this Friday, and that will be part of the discussion. I think that there's good, robust discussion as to whether that makes good economic sense. So I wish I could say yes or no on that, but I can tell you this, that there's good discussions going on about that.
And a third one.
And I know you're going to say, well, when are you going to stop discussions? The discussion right now, if we had to decide, the discussion would be no. Makes no sense because of the cost is so prohibitive to convert those jails into office space.
Chairman, supervisors, when I came to facilities a number of years back, it was at the tail end of the long-range planning committee for which you led, supervisor, and as a CBRE report came to fruition, getting kind of off a little bit, but to some of the projects that Supervisor Lipscomb asked about. One of the smaller capital projects was a remodeling project in the safety building in an area that wasn't originally jail cells but was later converted to jail cells. It's on the very east end of the skywalk, just inside before you get to the elevators. It's to your right. You might have even noticed the vestibule that was built to control dust and so forth. That area alone, again, not being original jail cells to the building's construction, was very problematic, and things popped up that were anticipated in the HVAC and the power and some of the other air distribution design parameters. That alone kind of opened up and said, you know, this is a little bigger and a little more involved than just gutting those jail cells. Those jail cells specifically are put in at a different floor than the floors themselves, and just the mechanicals behind that kind of an idea are something that, if it was going to be done, would need to be planned out and evaluated, like Mr. Tyler had said. One of the things, and like I said, from the long-range planning committee, as I've been educated, is I think all of us want to make sure we don't fall into one of those discussions going, how did we ever make this decision back 5 years ago, whether it's the St. Anthony's or the City Campus or something like that, to make sure that before we get into the safety building, if it is the right decision, it's the right decision, and it's vetted across all tables. And if it's not, then it's evaluated by the same process. But it's not, and I know you know this, but it's not just simply gutting the jail cells and putting in offices. It's some pretty unusable space.
And I apologize, Supervisor. Your third question was related to the safety building as well.
Is it the HVAC in the safety building?
Okay. So
it equally, the HVAC was a concern in the remodeled area, and that was an added design need that prolonged that project a little more because of the added design that was needed and the solution that was needed. There was basically we had to add the infrastructure, the ductwork, and do some resizing and some rebalancing on existing fans, but that took a lot of calculations and planning to say, can this fan, which was slightly oversized, handle this new area? And, you know, when we did the moves from Royce 3-4 years ago, there was minimal wall construction and reconstruction and removal. It was a lot of cubicles and a lot of just reusing the space that we knew we could utilize. This is something that's structurally way more substantial, and I think, again, one coin or the other, it's going to fall on one side, and I know that decision, you know, flip the coin now or place your bet now, but it's something that really needs to be looked at because the dollars on the other side are going to flush out, and it's going to be a simple decision, again, going across everybody's table, should we remodel or should we not? And safety building, because of its size and the complexity with all of those concerns, is probably one of the harder decisions as opposed to like City Campus or St. Anthony's, the old Huber facility. Those should be slam dunks, and there's other things involved with those also.
And, you know, I really don't care at this point what we do to those particular facilities. What I'm asking for is a specific vision that we're moving forward on. And I just never hear it. I really don't. All I hear is we need to have the consultant, we need to have the pilot plan, we need to have the next step. And I just very frustrated hearing that. And I actually think some good decisions need to be made. So how we get to the good decision, and then please, would you bring us into the process when you get to the point where decisions are going to be made so we can at least hear what your vision is and why. And I think you'd get some partnership. So,
Mr. Chair and Supervisors,
right, I don't know what we're going to do with
this. I think that's just a good. I just would like to comment, if I could. That's a good observation, and maybe what we can do, like we do with economic development right now,
well,
come in on a regular basis and provide you with an update.
Is the committee that's working on this one?
Yeah. Okay.
Chair, Supervisor, I'd just like to say, in my mind, and I'm a civil engineer, I'm not an architect, I've been heading up the architecture and engineering area for a while. It's not, nothing in this county is simple. Making decisions is not simple. As you know, even on the board, if we were to recommend something, there's going to be, I don't know that I've ever seen all members of the county board sitting in lockstep saying, yep, this is the way we're going. It's difficult, but what I want to tell you is that we have made progress. We have an RFP that's ready to go out with these areas of expertise we're looking for, which I don't have on my staff, which is managing governmental real estate. I don't have that. I don't have somebody that's good at change management, which when we start making these changes and making big decisions, there's going to be some unhappy people out there that are in powerful places that we're going and they all have employees. We're going to have to manage that change and work with staff to make sure that they buy into it and you know see that this can work. So the memo that came out from the exec's office on October 11th to the board, it lists out the kind of reiterates the CBRE. Bullet points, talks about how we're going to spend this $200,000 for this RFP that we've got developed, how we're going to hire somebody that's going to assist us in mostly in my area, going to assist me in working through how do I present these ideas, how do I get staff to buy in, how do I get departmental buy-in, all that kind of thing. Because these are going to be new things that we're going to do. And then the $500,000, it gets pretty specific there. It talks about space utilization, consolidating city campus, moving people from there to the courthouse. That's no small item. It talks about assessing the options for a new medical examiner and Huber facility space, which I know is...
Are you referring to the county exec's memo?
Yes. Yeah, that those bullet points under item two, $500,000. These options for the new medical examiner and a Huber facility, that Huber facility is a hot button, I know that. Something that needs to be addressed and looked at, but everything comes with a cost, and lately, in hiring consultants, as I mentioned before, some bids have come in that are substantially over budget, and all I can do is go back to the consultant and say, what's going on with your cost estimate? So what we're going to need to do is vet through this, the Huber facility, the old building, how much is that going to cost? What's a new medical examiner going to cost if we're going to do it? Safety building, same thing. You can say, well, let's stay in the safety building. That's what CBR recommended. It's probably, and we're saying, well, that's great, but the costs they gave us were really general. And I don't want to come to the board and say, here's what we're going to do, without knowing, having a much better idea what the actual costs are. And that's a difficult thing to do. So that's why we're going through this. We're going to hire somebody to assist us and then look at these bullet points. They get pretty specific. I'm looking at all of them, and they're all kind of hot button. to get anything done, is people are going to be, this is change. And like I say, my staff is not trained in change management. How do you get people in large segments of staff and people to do things and buy into something? It's difficult.
That's not your job. That's county exec's job.
Well, Mr. Chair, Supervisor, as a project manager, I think I'm going to end up being in that realm somehow.
I will say this with respect to the budget. I know this is time for us to discuss what's to happen in the next year, during the next year's time. But I want to tell the department heads, division heads, administrators who are here, anytime there's something that needs to be fleshed out and you want to talk to supervisors, go through the committee chairs or talk to the individual supervisors that have some type of oversight with respect to what needs to be done. And I'm saying that because, again, we're here for Milwaukee County. I know everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody's got their own budgetary allotments. And everybody has their ideas as to what should be done during the next, in this case, calendar year. But I think some of this could be smoothed out if somebody just became proactive and just started communicating with supervisors.
In fairness to the committee does make appointments with me from time to time and tell me about their meetings. And we do have Jessica from our staff that's on that committee.
Okay.
They've done some of that.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? I have some cards here. Thank you very much, gentlemen. If you would sit and listen to what's being said. I have some cards. If the first group, I've got a card from Mary Puderoska, Clarell Riley, Dolores Hughes. Is Mr. Frakes still here?
Pardon?
Russell Frakes?
No, he left. He spoke earlier.
Oh, yes, he did. Mr. Rodriguez? Ms. Cleckley? And then I have cards from Demille and Gail Lamar, who will be speaking. I also have cards for people who are registering but not speaking. That would be just Jeff Goodrum, Mike Smith, Cindy Simpson, John Reed, Joe Woodland, Robert Harris, Jeffrey Jamerson, Dwight Strickland, Darius Nicholson, I think it's Charles Menery, I could be wrong.
Henry?
Charles Henry.
Charles Henry, okay. Charles Henry, Neil Clark, Bernard Janisiek, Sandy Chesar?
Chester.
Chester, okay. Gilbert Alvarez and Zach Bird. Okay. I believe when we left off, Ms.
Riley.
Ms. Riley was going to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone, again. My name is Claret Riley. I used to work for this facility department in Milwaukee County. I got laid off. What year was that?
2009.
When I got laid off, I went to put in application at other places. And Milwaukee County did not give me a reference. They said I no longer work here. And my in HR, they don't know if I never worked there before. My record is not even there. It's gone.
And this is in 2009, ma'am, from 2009?
Your file.
My file.
Her file is gone as of now.
Right, as we speak. So when I put it.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
Continue.
So when I put an application in DA, my supervisor that was here would not give me a reference. They said that they cannot give me a reference. I don't exist.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Pudorowska?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Chairman, Milwaukee County Supervisors. As you can see, we, the housekeeping staff that once serviced Milwaukee County, and many of you, are before you again. This time we are asking for you to make us whole again. We were laid off in 2009 because of what was brought before you from then, the county exec, Scott Walker. The Milwaukee County was in the red, and you had some tough decisions to make. I get that. And that you had chosen to privatize us right before Christmas, 2 weeks' notice that we were out of a job. Then you laid off the security department, Scott Walker had did, in March of 2010. They took it to court, and it was proven that Milwaukee County was not, in fact, in the red for the budget of 2010. You had to bring them back. We were part of the same department, 5700, and the same should have been done for us at that time. When they returned to work, Mid-America's contract was over. They only had carried a one-year contract with Milwaukee County. At the 2011 budget, Ian, at that time, County Supervisor Ian Biddle, brought before you to bring us back. Again, you were misinformed that we were all placed in other county jobs. And I was told that comment came from our director at that time, Jack DeCarion. And it is also on audio in your archives. So on November 7th of 2011, we were shot down again. So we continued to do our part and keep applying for jobs, ones that they sent us through email, and others that we applied for on our own through Milwaukee County. And we kept in close contact with our county supervisors on this matter, a lot of them telling us to keep applying for jobs because they have to place us somewhere before those 3 years and one day. Then it was in January of 2011 when Lee Holloway was on the radio talking about security and how they were laid off. When one of our workers called in and asked, "What about the housekeepers?" He said, "What about them?" She said, "We still are without jobs." He said, "No. That he was informed that we were all placed within Milwaukee County." She said, "No, we were not." At that time, Lee Holloway stated on the radio that he wanted a list on his desk on Monday morning of all the people that were not working. And this was all on tape on one of the radio stations. So by Monday, we had our list. We presented it to Lee Holloway. When we applied it, we gave it to him. He said he was going to start working on it. At that time, Lee Holloway got mixed up in some property matters. So again, we were pushed aside. Not only were we applying for jobs within Milwaukee County, but on the outside. Then we were told that the board opened up 11 to 15 openings in security for us. We should be placed and we should apply. I was sent the opening through the email and I met all the requirements and set forth my application. It was 3 days later I received an email from Sean Moore telling me, "I'm sorry, but at this time I don't meet the requirements for that security position." So I called Sean and I asked him what this was all about. He told me he never sent me that email, and it was titled "From Sean Moore." And I had to have 3 years of police science in order to carry that position. At that time, only to find out that people that they did hire in security did not carry 3 years police science. And we have their names to back it up and a sworn statement to our attorney from a person telling him that they did hire people from the outside for jobs we could have had, that you people opened up for us. Also a statement saying that if anyone were to call in behalf of any of the housekeepers looking for reference or acknowledgement of us working for Milwaukee County, he was told to reply, "No comment," and hang up. Really? Some of us have 17 years with Milwaukee County, and if you're applying for a job on the outside, they're going to ask you, "What was your last place of employment?" And this is the respect we get from Milwaukee County? No comment? Hang up? Just say. We know what they can ask. They can ask two things. Did we work here? And how long they work here? That's it. They can't tell you if what your performance was. They can't tell you if you were on time. Those are the only two questions. Show us that respect. So at that point, I'm losing my voice, as you can tell, too. As you can see, we did not let those 3 years and 1 day just slip by. We've been fighting from this from day one. We did everything that was asked from us to do. We have a paper trail to prove it. We didn't just sit around and wait for you guys to call us back. We kept applying inside Milwaukee County and the outside. And we were blackballed all the way. And also by our union. So please, don't sit there and say it's been over 3 years. Why did you wait so long? We had the paperwork to prove. We tried to find work. We tried to do anything and everything to find work inside Milwaukee County and the outside. In the past, we've always supported you guys because we knew that you were for the working man and woman of Milwaukee County. So my closing statement to you is this is before you again, to either make it private or to do the right thing and make these people whole again and bring back the hardworking people of Milwaukee County. Because you and I all know there was never a savings here if you only get half of the service. Thank you for your time and your mannerness, but I do want to close out that I want to give you a little bit of a background on some of our coworkers. Through this, we have lost two workers through stress. They passed. They couldn't find work. They couldn't handle the pressure. So two of our members have passed. We have one lady that lost her son, her mother, and her father all within 3 months. You try to pay. You try to handle a burial on $7.75 an hour. She can't carry insurance. She applied for jobs in Milwaukee County that she was qualified. We were all qualified for a lot of these jobs. And we can't, well, we have an idea why we weren't placed. There was some connection in human resources with someone that has left, Dasha Young, and he was in connections very strongly with Scott Walker, and there were a lot of hands into this. And I know you're asking, why? Why are these housekeepers? Why are they being blackballed? There's a lot of reasons, but we believe it was because we didn't take those private jobs for $7, $8 an hour. They were angry that we didn't take those jobs and we left them high and dry.
Well,
And like I'm parents, my mother always told me, just because someone served you shit on a platter doesn't mean you got to eat it. And we're here just to be placed again and made whole. I mean, we deserve that respect. You're placing people off the street before us. Where's the loyalty? I mean, you know us. We've had background checks. We've fingerprinted. We know all, most of you people.
Please check into it. Go here and then please check
well,
into
ma'am,
it.
Well, ma'am, I will say this. Before I was hired back in November of 1987, I applied for a financial assistance workers position. And there were people here who had temporary jobs in energy assistance. Now, I do not begrudge those people because they were already in the system.
Right.
I do not begrudge them. So I had to wait a while for me to get this job, that first job, and I've been with the county for 26 years. And for what you just told us, and it's my understanding that you have been applying for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And for that letter to have come from Mr. Moore, and then when Mr. Moore is queried, Mr. Moore says that it didn't come from him, I find that downright disgusting.
Yeah.
Downright disgusting. I wanted to say that. Ladies, did you want to speak?
I'm Dolores Hughes, and also I'm the one who answered the radio station, talked to him. I brought the letter in. I think it was 2010. I gave him a list of names. I did again in 2011. So like she said, we didn't just sit around waiting, you know, for a handout. I'm 10 years, perfect attendance. You can look at my record. Single mom, homeowner. I have obligations as well. And I just believe wholeheartedly that if you guys really look into, you know, just look, we're human. Mm-hmm. You know, I have two sons that go to school. You know, I would appreciate it if we would be given an opportunity back or whatever you guys can do at this time to make us whole, because we're not going away.
No.
My name is Jacqueline Cleckley. I've worked in Milwaukee County for 19 years. I'm disabled, retired, but I stand with them. I would like for them to have their jobs back, even if I'm not working. I would like for them to have their jobs back. Also, I think we deserve to be paid for that 3 years and one day for all the illegal stuff that Milwaukee County has put us through. It wasn't right. I went from the hospital to being laid off for 6 months when they closed to coming down here. Then I went from here to CATC where we left out, laid off, and I went on disability. I worked all that time hurt. Every time I came in, I asked for help. I never got it. When I went out to have a hip replacement, I come back, there's two guys in my place. But I didn't get any help. I worked alone at CATC, the whole school. And I was told that I was doing a good job. Well, if I didn't do a good job, I'd be fired. I kept FMLAs in place because I knew the rules, because I also was a union steward. I also was on the executive board, 1055, and then we went to 882. All this problem came when we merged with the parks. Mm-hmm. We were told that we were in the red. We always gave money back in the budget. I know this because, like I said, I was a union steward, and I did my job. We need help.
Okay, before you get up, any questions from committee members? Supervisors Romo West, Lipscomb.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First off, I just want to start off by saying that I personally don't believe that Dashiell Young or Scott Walker is conspiring against you. I got an email this week from someone who's currently employed, whose job was saved in the last budget, who has applied for a Mirage, and I want to say five different jobs over this last year, who currently is working for Milwaukee County, and sent me an email saying, look, I'm overly qualified for these jobs, and I'm not getting them. Can you look into this? And so I think this is something that we're definitely going to need to look into. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you. I also want to let you know that I think each and every single one of these County Board of Supervisors at least can sympathize with you in regards to the fact that every 4 years we face losing our jobs. We face losing our jobs. We have families. Some of us, you know, were or are single parents. You know, we have mortgages and kids and all that good stuff. So we do understand and have been there before and know how that feels, and it doesn't feel good. The difference is that we're not eligible for unemployment or anything like that should we end up losing our jobs. I was here during this time. I remember it vividly. I did not vote for you to lose your jobs. We were informed and we were told that there was a recruitment going on and that you would become CNAs out at BHD, or you would be transferred to food service, or you would be doing something. And we were, I think all of us, under the impression that you had been hired and that we wouldn't hear from you again. Or that if we would, it was because you were retiring. So I'm very disappointed to learn that we haven't done this, especially in the wake of the fact that we're now downsizing out at BHD. And we've been told that we're using best practices in order to place our, you know, our employees out at BHD, who will, starting in January, in fact, start losing their jobs. And so I hope this isn't part of the best practice model. I don't, you know, I'm very disappointed. I do know that one of the people who was cleaning out at BHD what did become a CNA, and she had difficulty. And I think she's called my office 3 or 4 or 5 times to try to get in within that 3 years and one day. And that was a big issue. And she took the CNA training, and because she, you know, English is her second language, she had an issue taking a test, and so she took a little bit longer, and we were able to get her in. But even now today, she's fighting with the union and with HR to try to make sure that she is still vested and that she has her vacation days and she has everything that she's entitled to. So I just want you to know that I don't want you to feel alone, like it's something that you're being singled out, because you absolutely aren't. Like I said, current employees are having issues, and that's something, I guess, that we're going to need to get to the bottom of. I feel terrible that you guys were not placed in jobs, because, again, we were presented with the whole plan, the dog and pony show of how you were going to be placed, and we were under the assumption that you were. So 3 and some years later, it's very disappointing
to find out that you're not. Who failed this? By us not being placed, who failed?
We dropped the ball.
We'll try to find out that.
We'll try
to find out about that.
Right, because, I mean, when you guys privatized food service and any other department, they've always been placed within 3 years and one day.
The other thing I want to state for the record is that anytime, right now what we're discussing is we are discussing the county executive's budget. And so until we go ahead and make changes to it, it's the county executive's budget. And just like that year, it was the county executive that proposed privatizing your jobs. And again, most of us that were here at that time didn't vote in support of that. And unfortunately, that was a very tough budget that got vetoed, and you ended up losing your jobs in a veto, which, again, is extremely disappointing, not just for you, but for all of us.
Well, it was said by Dave Sikorsky, our own union secretary and now president, also head of the pension board, also still working at the zoo, that we were targeted. We were the right target.
It was in the paper. Mm-hmm. He said they were a perfect target. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, we will look into this, for sure. We will look into this.
I just wanted to state that stuff for the record. I don't want you walking out of here feeling like you have been singled out. I honestly don't believe that. I just think that, again, it's a perfect storm. I believe that Milwaukee County is headed down the road where we have plans to privatize a great number of services, or someone has plans to privatize a great number of services, and unfortunately, those employees who are caught in that wake, you know, are not being taken care of the way that they should. And this is, I'm very happy that you're here, because, again, unfortunately, we're doing the same thing right now out at BHD, and we're being told that, you know, we're bringing in recruiters and all of these other great things. And I would like to think that that is a priority. But unfortunately, hearing your story today, it's something that we're going to have to be more cognizant of, obviously, than we were the last time.
But may I say something? We did not let that 3 years and one day go past. That's what we're trying to get you guys to understand. We did not let the 3 years and one day go past. We tried all we could to have someone to talk to us. We talked to Mr. Harsh.
We met with Jason. We
yes.
Stamper.
And we tried so hard. We were just getting pushed aside. I wanted my 3 years and one day because I want to retire. Mm-hmm. I want to retire. Now what can we do?
And now not only are we blocked from the inside, but we applied for Marquette. We applied for MATC, UWM. And now because they gave no references and hung up, we can't reapply for these jobs. So where do we find a job? Tell me that.
Excuse me.
It's a hard fight.
And we have a legal statement given, a testimony by someone stating that's what he was told to
do. When I volunteered at VA, I was going to get that job. I'm no longer working for Milwaukee County. They have nothing on me. I never worked there before.
We'll see what we can do about that. We'll definitely see because you've had other avenues of recourse. And you have not used them to the extent that I know that you have used them. That is to say, you could have done some other things and you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do something about this. Given the information that we're going to get, we're going to have to look into what's going on and come to some determination. Supervisor Lamar Morris, are you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thanks. First, a clarifying question. There was reference to a lawyer. Are we in litigation with you over this matter?
We're being represented right now. We are handling this on our own until it gets, because all this is informational.
You're not in court on this matter
no.
yet?
No.
That's my impression, too. No. Okay. Go ahead, sir. Right.
I'd be interested in having an item scheduled. I think, you know, one of the difficulties is that you've come before us before and now, and it's you're looking for a venue to have this item discussed. Once again, I don't think today is going to work. You're not going to get you're not going to be made whole here. But you need a venue, and you need a venue where, and we need a venue where we can have HR in front of us, and we can get them to answer some of the questions you're asking
we
us, and so that you can get
sessions
that
in front of us.
Rick Session. Okay. But
he had no words.
Well, because he was on the county board when it happened, he wasn't in HR. And I think we're going to, that's
no,
gonna, one of our problems.
No, he was in HR. And there were 12 openings
we
at the airport.
Met with him.
were 12 openings at the airport 2 months
right.
ago.
None of us are in a position to I'm not going to defend
no,
HR.
There's nothing going to happen today except that we're going to listen to what
right,
we're
it's informational.
And then we'll go forward. We'll go forward.
Well, I'm just, Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping that you'll schedule an item at a future committee meeting outside of budget to take this up where the department can come before us. Now, to the extent that many of them were not around when it occurred, but they are around now. So, you know,
yeah.
I'd like to hear what's happening now in terms of people calling for a reference or an employment verification or whatever.
Yes.
But at a subsequent, it needs to be at a subsequent time. I don't know that that's going to satisfy you in terms of being made whole, but beyond that, I'd also like to hear some reconciliation of what exactly did happen, because I distinctly remember all the efforts we were told were going to be made in terms of placing and retraining and those sorts of things,
and
clearly
and
that didn't happen.
Supervisor, with that, we will go forward.
Thank you.
We will go forward. Thank you very much. Any other Supervisor Bowen, the Supervisor Jerzyk, Supervisor Borkowski.
Okay.
And we'll get to Mr. Rodriguez and the Lamars.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question, and I am sorry that those things did happen to you all. Definitely is not right. What happened to your union representation? And it seems like they stopped helping to some degree or something like that.
After we got laid off on December 9th of 2009,
Security was laid off in March of 2010. They pushed us aside and took security. And we have an email stating from our union saying, if security wins their arbitration, we will take yours in. You should win yours. So when that happened, well, then the Act 10 happened, and then we got pushed aside again. And he carried us until June of this year, and I got a text message from my union at 2:42 in the morning saying, we can no longer help you. Sorry.
Gotcha. And Mr. Chair, I need a history check. The security guards that did return, if it's my recollection, we still don't have public security guards. We have private security.
We have public.
Okay, so there at some place in the county, we still have Milwaukee County security guards.
And we have some that just came
in. I thought G4S was still here at the county.
No, I think you guys.
Gotcha. All right, thank you for the clarification.
We have county security guards.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else of these four ladies?
And I do think this needs to go to committee.
One
of the policy issues I'm pulling out of this is this whole issue of the ability to get a reference when you're a Milwaukee County, a prior Milwaukee County employee. I think personnel needs to, or HR needs to address that. There should be some procedure in place for employees to get references. That just does not sound right, and we may need to, from a policy directive, get that straightened out.
Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jose Rodriguez, DeMille, and Gail Lamar. Supervisor Borkowski?
Yeah.
Did you have any questions, comments or questions to the floor? The four who just left?
No, but could I speak after our visitors?
Yes, sir. Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes. Thank you, County Board, for the opportunity to be here and speak. Me too. I started in 96 as a county facility. When I first started here, I mean, I worked at Globe Union, got laid off from Globe Union. When I came here, I mean, I thought that I was going to be able to retire from here too. When I first started here, I started as just to get in the county, I took the facility job too. After my 90 days, I was offered security. I did security for a whole year. After security, I was offered a job as the mailman here for the county. I did that 6.5 years. When I earlier was hearing that there was a budget for the something with the mail. Okay, when I was doing the mail, it took me almost 13 years to be here in the county, and then after I did the mail job, I was making $14. From the mail job, they pulled me down here at the loading dock. When I did that mail job for 6.5 years, there was nothing wrong that I did. I mean, I took care of that mail in the rain, in the cold, in the winter, and I was there. I was here every day. And at that time, they said there was a budget. Okay, they took me out of the mail job when I was making $14. And they put somebody from the grounds, Gary Watson, his people came and put someone in my position that was making more money. Okay, where was the budget then? When I was making less money, where was that budget? What happened with that budget? They were supposed to be on budget. When I was making less money than the person they brought in, because it was from that group of people that was making higher money. And then even when I first started doing that mail job, there were people there out there, tools, that were making more money than me. And I took that job for less money just to stay in the county. And then after that, when they brought that person that was making more money than me, I was put down at the loading dock. At the loading dock, I was 3.5 years there. I mean, and then I got laid off. And then after that, after I was laid off, I came and applied for security. That I was interviewed by the supervisor and Gary Watson, too. He came in that day, and that I wasn't qualified. I mean, I did it for a year, and I wasn't qualified when people off the streets came in and got hired. And the reason why I think, I mean, that I don't see why Gary Watson is sitting here in this room today. When Gary Watson, he's the one that when he came from Parks, He came, and I don't even know how he's trying to even do something job here in the county higher than that. When Gary Watson came one day at the loading dock, there was air filters that were being changed around. And he came and told me, well, Jose, I want you to take these air filters and put them into the dumpster. When there were people that used to do that before, wear air masks, gloves, and everything. And I said, Gary Watson, I mean, I don't have no gloves like these people. And he said, are you refusing the job? And that's why, I think that's why he refused me of taking the job as security. Because right from the start, when I said, Gary, I'm not doing that job because I don't have a mask, I don't have gloves, I don't have nothing. And a month before that, I had a company to come and clean my filters where I paid $300, and there's little bugs in those filters. And that's the point I was trying to get across to Gary Watson, that, hey, I'm not going to do this job if I don't have the uniforms to do this job. And he wrote me up because I was refusing a job. And then when I did come apply for security, he was there. And I think he's the one that stopped me from getting the job at security, because after that, when I talked with the supervisors after that, they didn't come straight out, but they let me know that Gary Watson had a stop on me and human research. And a couple times when I came to apply at human research, Gary Watson, Karen Jackson, and some other person in human research, there was nothing in file that I did security that I, you know, and that's why I'm here today. I want my job back. I have a family too. Like everybody else here has a mortgage, family, and everything. My oldest son just graduated from college, and I couldn't even help him that he graduated from. But he made it. He graduated from college. Now he's going 2 more years to finish because he tells me every day, Dad, what you couldn't do, I'm going to do. And and that's it. That's what I got to say. I want my job back. And I don't understand how a person is sitting in this room today when what he did to us. And even then, too, there was a lot of places. When I got laid off from here, I just didn't go stay home. The next day I woke up, and I went to the hiring center. I took a course there for a whole year. I got my boiler's license. I got my CDO license. The people here right now working here in this courthouse that don't even have that. And when I came applying for jobs, I would refuse from a lot of jobs because Gary Watson put a stop in human research that he didn't want me. Even today, when I walked into the courthouse today, security people, even one security people said, okay, is that Jose? That's the one we're supposed to stop? And I'm like, what?
Thank you.
That's what I have to
Mr.
say.
Mr. Rodriguez, thank you very much. Any questions of Mr. Rodriguez? Thank you very much, sir. DeMille and Gail Lamar.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say, County Board members, Chairperson. My name is DeMille Lamar. I came to Milwaukee back in 91. I was from Madison, Wisconsin. I had my own crew up in Madison. My supervisors in Madison kind of laughed at me a little bit because I was moving to Milwaukee. And I kind of like wondered why. And they was kind of like, well, I guess you're kind of finding out what's going on down there in Milwaukee. And now when I did move down here in 91, I started with the parks. I was making $9.75 at that particular time. Now, after we just got laid off, the private company that they had was asking us to come work for them. Now, just think, we was making $14, $15 before we left. We knew all, I worked on a county dock along with Jose right here. And we did all of this, bringing all the mail and in office mail, delivering the mail inside too. Make a long story short, they did not pay us like we should have got paid. We was a one, but we still supposed to be in housekeeping. We never seen the housekeeping. We delivering the checks to the commissioner's office. And how could you still, they didn't kind of rectify that, just kind of give us any kind of probate money or whatever. You know, we did the mail run and everything. All we know is like, well, you can bring in a two, and he makes more money than me and Jose, and you know, and we just like, wow, how come we can't get a raise? Well, y'all in housekeeping. Well, they housekeeping too. Well, they are two. Well, we are one. So you're gonna have us doing the mail all over the city, but then again, we don't get paid for it either. But you can put a two or a four, and they doing, we doing the same job as they doing, and we on the receiving dock too, just doing everything they doing. And I think that was wrong. And it's 25 of us to 30 people in housekeeping right now who don't have a job. So please consider us coming back. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Lamar.
Thank you, County Board, for meeting with us. I'd like to say
I want to thank you for taking the consideration, from listening to everyone here today, for their frustrations that have mounted, and I believe they're maintaining, trying to explain to you just how frustrating this whole process has been. And then to have been dedicated county employees for years, not months, but for years, and then just be walked over like this, it's just totally unacceptable. It's devastating. It really is. And I hope that from today forward, I don't have everyone's name here, and I'd like to get everyone's name here on the county board to find out who I need to contact to see what progress is going to be made or going to be done on their behalf to get some of these, you know, these inconsiderations or these falsities corrected on their behalf. And I also like to thank the gentleman right here who has stepped up in our behalf, taking on our concerns and bringing us here to this point today.
That's Supervisor Borkowski, man.
I can't say his name like that. It's Mark.
Mark. Okay. Mark. Yeah. That's Mark. That's true.
All right.
That's very true, man. Any other? No, Supervisor Borkowski. Right here, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not going to belabor this point. Obviously, this group of people have been wronged, and I don't need to remind all of us that they've been here patiently since 9 o'clock. I know, as all of us have, I got involved with them July of this year. They came to a Transportation Public Works meeting when we were talking about the cleaning contract that's still up in the air, and this was in July, and what I heard was just amazing to me. And since that time, I have tried whatever I can help with. I've asked Supervisor Weishon. I think that you've heard the passion, the heartbreak, the I don't have to go into everything. You've heard it yourself. And whatever this county board can do, okay, to make these people whole, I'm hopeful at the very, 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 very least that we can get them employed, okay? I know that they have other desires and wants, but they have been wronged, and they're not going to go away, okay? And I'm grateful that it's going to come through the committee cycle, as it should, we need to help these people, and thank you all for your time and your energy and your perseverance, and hopefully we can help.
Thank you very much, Supervisor. For those who are former housekeepers who did not necessarily testify, I asked for a list to be created with names, telephone numbers, and addresses on them. Did everyone sign? Okay. Please do that before you leave. Anything else on this org unit?
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Roma West.
Very quickly, Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank you for putting this on the radar, and to Supervisor Borkowski for the work that he's done. And I know that some of you committee members, especially those who have been around and those people in the audience, and I often spoke about the man who worked the desk over at Casiasco Community Center, Angel Tirado. And he worked at the Casiasco Community Center for 18 years as a seasonal employee. And he had applied numerous times for other positions. He had taken all of these different trainings, got a CDL, just a mirage of different things because he wanted so desperately to be a full-time employee. And unfortunately, last Saturday, Mr. Tirado passed away from cancer. And when his daughter came to Milwaukee County and said, look, my father's worked for you for 18 years. How can you help me? She was told that there was no help here. And so his daughter's now stuck paying for Mr. Tirado's final burial because he doesn't have a pension. He didn't have insurance. He didn't have any of the things that full-time employees have. And I, for one, personally just, I think it's shameful. And I think that, again, we have to take a look at how we, as Milwaukee County, allow our employees to move up the the latter? And are we creating opportunities for them? We have so much institutional knowledge here. You know, I don't understand why we're not using it. And I understand about benefits and health insurance and pensions and things like that. But, I mean, these are people who have vested their lives with us, you know. And, I mean, Angel worked up. He had cancer. He worked up until he just couldn't stand anymore because he had to, because he needed the money to support himself. And so, again, I think, you know, we need to really take a look at this, and I applaud this committee and, again, my Supervisor Borkowski and the chair for really bringing this into the light. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Haas?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, when these good people appeared before us today, approached me a year or more ago, I was still pretty new to the board, and what could be followed as a course of action wasn't clear to me then. But I'm glad we're active on this now here today. And I look forward to working with Supervisor Borkowski and my colleagues up here. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all. Next item number...